Take your Bibles, please, open up to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. That was not me. We're going to be looking today at verses 24 to 32, the longest passage since we have started the book. So we're going to be getting into there. So just as a way of introduction, as we've already seen in verses 18 to 23, when people suppress the truth of God, which is revealed all around them in the natural world and is also revealed within them, as we've seen in their conscience, they will refuse to glorify God and they will refuse to be thankful to Him. Though they think that, friends, this is a path to knowledge and wisdom, it really is the path to a foolish, darkened heart, which ultimately leads to idolatry. Man away from God is always an idolater, even the atheist. We now come to our passage today, verses 24 to 32, which start with the word therefore. So based on all that went before, here is the conclusion. Donald Gray Barnhouse, in his four-volume commentary on the book of Romans, says this of the last nine verses here in the chapter. He says, the last nine verses in the first chapter of Romans are the most terrible in the Bible. This is the description of mankind abandoned by God, and the scene is a frightful one. The passage before us shows graphically and describes graphically the downward spiral of the wrath of abandonment in the life of a person when God abandons them. The English phrase for us, as we will see three times, the English phrase, gave them up, used twice in verses 24 and 26, and then gave them over in verse 28, those English phrases are all interpreted from the same Greek word, paradaimoē, and it is a judicial term used for handing over a prisoner to their sentence. So they're already been tried and found guilty, and now they're being handed over for their sentence. That's what the phrase, gave them up, gave them over, means. So when the Creator takes His loving hands off His creation and gives them up to their own darkened, sinful hearts, minds, and lives, they sink deeper and deeper into the mire of their sin and abandonment. Friends, this is a terrible thing that we right now are witnessing before our very own eyes. This is not going on in some pagan land by some pagan people, but this is the description of the human heart without Christ. It is a description, sadly, of the America in which we live today. Father, please bless the preaching of Your Word today with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I will be as kind, as gentle as I can to little ears today, but some of these things need to be heard also. So some questions may be generated by this that you will have to answer to your kids at home. But first, giving up. Notice verses 24 and 25. Given up to uncleanness. And we notice in verse 24 a sexual revolution. Look at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. A sexual revolution. And when you notice the word revolution, the root of the word is revolt. Okay? So when people are abandoned by God, they begin to revolt. And uncleanness here means to be physically and morally impure. It has the idea of sexual immorality, which begins in the heart and eventually shames the body, dishonoring the body. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, please. 1 Corinthians 6. One book past Romans is the book of 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 16 to 18, we read this. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So we see here, friends, that there is a dishonoring of the body, and there is this revolting against God, and it is a sexual revolution. And notice why that is. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When we started the book of Romans, what did I say the battle is for today? Truth. It's a battle for and over truth. And people need to know the truth. And the Word of God is the truth. The battle is not over Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal. That's fruit of it. The battle is over truth or the truth that has been here exchanged for the lie. That's where the battle is. And when we think about marriage, and again, this is under, you know, given up to uncleanness. In Genesis chapter 2, when God created our very first parents, and God created Eve, and God brought Eve to Adam, and it said, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So God has given us perimeters for physical relations. And those perimeters are, and only are, within the confines of marriage. And Paul tells us in Hebrews 13, verse 4, that the marriage bed is undefiled. So physical relations within its proper place is undefiled. But because of man's being given up to uncleanness and this revolution that has gone on, because of God's wrath. A sure sign of the wrath of God's abandonment is when a person, society, or culture exchanges the truth of God's word concerning the sanctity of marriage and married physical relations, and believes the lie of the sexual revolution, which was started in the 1960s in America. And I'll mention this again, but what was taken out of school in 1963? The Bible and prayer. They turn their back on God, and according to Romans 1, the first step, sexual revolution, 1960s, the sexual revolution. When the lie is exchanged and believed, the next step downward in the wrath of abandonment is being given up to vile affections. Point number two, giving up to vile affections, verses 26 and 27. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Given up to vile affections. And this is the homosexual revolution. Vile affections. The word vile means disgraceful. The word affections means passion. So what is it telling us here? There are people who are given over to disgraceful passions, vile affections. Natural use. Against nature, we read in these passages. Natural use is what would be termed instinctive. Against nature is instinct. Men leaving the natural or the instinctive use of the women. Men with men burning lust toward one another. With burning lust toward one another. Men with men, women with women. Now, based on these verses, friends, and this is important for you to understand in our proclaiming the truth, based on these verses, homosexuality is not an identity problem. It is a behavior problem. And behavior is sin. It's not, I was born this way. That's a lie. That's exchanging the truth for the lie, verse 25. They conveniently move the problem and they state, this is who I am, rather than this is what I do. The word unseemly means indecent. Receiving in themselves the recompense. The word recompense means reward of their error. And we have the AIDS problem. This behavior is an error because the truth of God has been exchanged for the lie. Again, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Which was meet, which means due or necessary. This reminds me so much of the principle of Galatians 6, 7 and 8. You reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit life. So friends, as man continues to exchange the truth of God's word for a lie, and believes the lie about the sanctity of marriage and the married couple's physical relations, and they are abandoned to uncleanness, then they are abandoned to vile affections, the vile affections of homosexuality. The next step downward is the abandonment to a reprobate mind. So downward, downward, downward. Uncleanness, vile affections, a reprobate mind. A reprobate revolution. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Reprobate mind here. Reprobate means rejected. It means worthless. It has the idea of being a debased mind. Since they rejected God, God gave them a rejected mind. The conscience is destroyed because they did not retain or hold God in their mind. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That takes us back to previous verses, right? What did God put in every person? A knowledge of Himself and His attributes. And because they suppressed that truth, they did not like to retain that. They did not like to hold on to that knowledge. I don't like that. I don't want that. God gave them over to their own mind. The truth is suppressed in exchange for a lie, then nothing but misinformation follows. Now, we hear a lot about fake news, and we heard a lot about fake news, okay? And I'm not going to get into it that way, but what does the text tell us? If you don't believe the truth, everything else you hear is a lie. Everything you hear about God that does not come from this book is a lie. Everything you hear about salvation that does not come from this book is a lie. Everything you hear about man, which does not come from this book, is a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And we are seeing the fruit of that today. Okay? Where just this past week, history was made when our country elected for its health, Secretary, thank you, Secretary of Health, a transvestite. And it was sold as history being made. Sad history. Why is that? Because man, unsaved man, has believed the lie. Secretary of Health, in charge of the health of our children. Misinformation follows. If you do not believe the truth, everything else is a lie. And that's why we have to cut through all the distractions and get to the heart of the problem and realize the battle is for truth. Truth. The list in verse 29 to 31 shows a mind that is at odds with itself and God. I mean, it's one thing to be at odds with other people. It's one thing to have your own mind be at odds with itself. But because God placed the knowledge of Himself in us, and we've suppressed that truth, we're at odds with our own mind and our own conscience. And we're definitely at odds with God. Notice verse 29. Notice the first phrase, being filled with. That phrase literally means to cram full. Your wife tells you, you're on a diet, your wife tells you you can have one bowl of ice cream. Man, I am going to cram that bowl filled. I'm going to smash it, I'm going to smush it, and I'm going to figure out a way to get a quart of ice cream in a half-quart bowl. That's the idea of this word, to cram full. Their minds are crammed full with what follows. Unrighteousness. Number one, unrighteousness. What does God require? Righteousness. Unrighteousness. Wrong. This is wrongness in character. Fornication. Harlotry or lewdness. Wickedness. This carries the idea of depravity. covetousness, it's greediness. Maliciousness means evil. Envy means jealousy. Debate means to quarrel. That's all we hear today is debate on this thing. And isn't it interesting that debates always turn into what? Quarrels, arguments. Deceit. It means to bait. How many of you like to fish? Okay, when you go fishing, what is the stuff you put on your hook called? Bait. Okay? Why is it called bait? Because you are trying to deceive the fish to eat a hook. You put a worm, you put a night crawler, you put something on there, a smaller fish, to deceive the bigger fish into thinking, dinner. And then it eats the little fish, but didn't realize there was a hook in it. That's the idea of this word, to deceive somebody. A lot of deception out there. Their minds are filled with deceit. Malignity, this means mischievousness. Whisperers or secret circulators. Backbiters, slanderers. So much of that going on today. And friends, don't be surprised if you get slandered. They can't argue with you about the truth because they have no gun in that fight. They only have lies. So what will they do? Slander you. The new thing now is to accuse us of being racist. Slander. Backbiters. Haters of God, that's obvious, those who hate God. Despiteful, insulting, that means. Proud, haughty people. Boasters, prating around, look how good I am. Inventors of evil things. This is a mind that is always against good. Disobedient to parents. Not compliant to parents' wishes. Go to Walmart. Wonderful illustrations of this. Without understanding. Now, children, I know your parents might tell you not to say this word, but this word literally means, without understanding, spiritually stupid. Again, they are without understanding. They have nothing to tell us about God. And some of our elected officials stand before a microphone in a national TV and tell us, they have the gall to tell us we're doing God's work. Maybe your God. Because everybody worships something, but not the God. Covenant breakers. That means without good faith. My grandfather used to tell me the story as how he bought a car simply on a handshake. Remember the day when a man's word meant something? You can swear on a Bible that you'll uphold whatever, the Constitution, and that means absolutely nothing. Here's the saddest one, I think. Without natural affection. And this has to do with the idea of domestic relationships. Without natural affection. What is the greatest earthly example of unconditional love? A mother's love for her child. There is no greater earthly example than a mother's love for her child. But yet, women wear shirts that say, I'm proud of my abortion. And not too long ago, before the COVID hit, so this would have been 2019, an actress named Busy Phillips went on a tirade about how she was thankful that she had bodily autonomy and at 15 was allowed to have an abortion. And then she went on to say, because if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have all the things I have today without natural affection. Mothers don't have love for their children. Men don't have love for women. Women don't have love for men without natural affection. Implacable. This means truce breakers. And the last one is unmerciful. And this has the idea of being positively cruel all the time. That's quite a list. And this is what happens to the reprobate mind. A mind that is at odds with itself and God. So the downward spiral is now complete. As unsaved man reaches to the bottom of the pit of sin. Look at verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God. Why do they know the judgment of God? Previously in the chapter, God put it in them. They know the judgment of God. That they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They know the judgment of God. They know that they are worthy of death. Yet they continue to suppress the truth and exchange it for the lie. And they have pleasure when others join them in their sin. Friends, this is the pornography industry. They not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do it. Misery loves company. The downward spiral is complete. Unsaved man reaches the bottom of the pit of sin. As unsaved man continues to suppress the truth and exchange the truth for a lie, they are abandoned to uncleanness. Then the vile affections of homosexuality. And then finally the abandonment of a reprobate mind. The downward spiral is completed. When they know they are wrong, they know they deserve God's wrath, they don't care, and they applaud others who sin. In 1963, as I mentioned before, the Bible was banned from school. God's light and revelation was removed. The sexual revolution started in the 1960s. The homosexual revolution started in the 1970s with gay parades and gay pride months and all this stuff. And today, the reprobate revolution is in full swing. Turn on a TV and you hear the vilest of language. Full swing. So as we conclude, what do we do? Turn with me in conclusion to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Verse 8, starting. About in the middle of your Bible is the book of Psalm. Psalm 81, verse 8, the Bible says, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me." So here's God telling Israel, listen. Learn from your history. What is being rewritten before our very eyes? History. How can you learn from it if they lie about it? God is telling Israel, if you're going to listen to me, verse 9, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Isn't that a great verse? Listen, God is telling Israel, just listen to me, please. Don't have any other strange gods. Let me be your God. And in fact, if you open your mouth, I will fill it. Can you see that picture in your mind? Man, I would, you know, if I could, I would ask people, come on, pull my jaw farther apart. I want to open my mouth as wide as I can. God to fill it. Look at verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So, what's verse 12 said? I gave them up. Sounds familiar. I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Now, I am not saying that America is Israel, but I believe with all my heart that there is a principle here. And God says, if you choose me, I will fill your mouth, and you will be satisfied. But you know what the sad thing is, friends? People aren't satisfied with God's supply. And I believe God still today would fill any mouth that's open to Him. But we wouldn't have it, so God gave them up. So as we conclude this chapter, we must keep in mind that those described in these verses had the opportunity to know God and His righteous requirements. They also know that the wages of their sin will bring God's judgment and death. Even knowing this, they continue their downward spiral into sin's degradation, but they also applaud and welcome others to join them. This shows that a point can be reached where observing the sinful practices of others can bring a sinner great satisfaction. Why is this? Because God's truth was suppressed, and then the truth was exchanged for a lie. So Christians, what can we do? What are we to do? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Here's Paul's charge to Timothy, and here's what we do. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. So Paul is reminding Timothy that judgment is coming. And we need to remind people, you're going to be judged. You will, whether you believe in Him or not, you will stand before God. So Paul says, preach the word. Well, that's your part, preacher. No. That's our part. That word simply means to proclaim. What are we to proclaim? The word. Be instant. That means be present, ready for duty. It's a constant state of readiness. It's a military term. For those of you in the military, you knew when you heard certain orders, you better be there and you better be there quick. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Keep teaching and preaching the truth. Don't get tired of it. No one listens. That's what God told Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I'm going to give you a message. I'm going to fill your mouth. You're going to have a message, and guess what? No one's going to listen to you. So get over it. Preach. Preach. For the time will come, and that time has come, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the, and shall be turned unto fables. itching ears. No, no, no. I want to hear what I want to hear. And you know, you can go into churches today, and in those churches, you can hear that it's okay to be a homosexual. Now, I don't know if it's still up, but the last time I was at Trinity Church, across the street from Trinity Church, there's a church that has a rainbow and it says they welcome anybody. That's an abomination. That's man at the bottom of the pit of sin. And that is a pastor or pastorette at that church, whoever it may be, that will have to stand before God and answer. So what do? Preach the word. Believer, preach the word, the truth. And one last verse to look at. If you're here today and you're an unbeliever, what are you to do? John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 32, very familiar verse. But Jesus simply says this, "And ye shall know the, and the truth shall set you free." It's all about the truth. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get off. Well, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about the truth? And the first thing, no matter what a person is caught up in, the first thing they need to know is they need a Savior. Don't let the devil get you sidetracked. Well, if I'm a Christian, I can't smoke. It's true, but that's not the problem right now. That smoking is not your problem. Well, if I become a Christian, I can't. Don't. If you're not a Christian, you're going to burn in hell for all eternity. I think that's a problem. That's your biggest problem. You're going to stand before the judge of all the earth. That's your problem. And if you're not clothed in Christ's righteousness, you have no standing. And you will hear the saddest words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." If you're here today without Christ, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth." The battle is for truth, friends. Believe it and proclaim it. And don't get sidetracked. Father, help us today to believe the truth. Help us today to know the truth. Help us today to proclaim the truth. Oh Lord, the world around us, it's so obvious, Lord, that the world needs you. And we are living in the time when our country has been turned over, has been abandoned by God. So help us to believe. And help us, Lord, to proclaim that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.